The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people. And they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the hearts of the prophets who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their fathers forgot my name for Baal? Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream. But let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Paul said, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. and there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. You may be seated. So here we are gathering on this eighth Sunday after Trinity, and during this Trinity season, during this time where green is before us, and we think of that time of growth, and there's a lot of stuff about our new life in Christ. There's a lot of stuff where Jesus is teaching us about the faith. He's teaching us through parables. He's teaching us through various different teachings in the Gospels. He's showing us who we are in him and who we are as the church. And that's what's before us in the readings today as well. Even though these appointed readings for this Sunday in the church year are a bit harsh in their tone and content, there's something that you see in all of this. It's the care that your Lord has for you as the church. That's at the forefront. You see that in what your Lord teaches you today. Because the church of God, the body of Christ, his bride, is precious. Because you are his people. The Lord cares for the church. The devil, though, he wants to destroy the church. To him, the old evil foe, it doesn't matter how it happens, just so long as you're separated from Jesus, that you take your eyes off the Lord and onto something else, trusting in something else. And there are countless overt ways we see this happen around us in the world. You can just search for less than 5 minutes and find any number of things. You go even look at throughout different parts of the world, you see empty cathedrals and churches sitting empty on a Sunday morning. All the while, there are other places erected and occupied where people do put their fear, love, and trust in, where they do find their identity, their meaning, their security. Roads appear empty driving to church on Sunday morning, but other days traffic is alive and well. But today, what Jesus is teaching you is that the devil operates in a more subtle way, but it's just as deadly for God's people. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." Now let's just stop there for a second and ask the good question of, what's going on? Why is Jesus making the statement? What does this mean? What's the context that this occurs? Well, this is near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, that great discourse of sermon of Jesus in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. It starts with the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek. That's our gospel reading every All Saints Day. And Jesus teaches so many things about the law, the prophets that he's come to fulfill, which we just heard that recently. He teaches us about who we are as his people, who we are to be as the church, as salt and light, countless other things. So when then our reading picks up today, near the very end, when he had taught his disciples everything they were to know, he went on and he warned them to guard against false teaching, to guard against that which seeks them to tear away from him and what he has taught them. And God admonishes us to people to remain with the true teaching and to guard against false teachers. Part of confessing the Christian faith is showing what is good and rejecting what is false. It's a both and thing, and this is for the sake of clarity, for the sake of protection. We heard something similar to that in that second reading from Acts today, when Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders, and he's talking to them, and he said, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And so God teaches and he warns. He does this. He speaks to his church. Why? Because he cares for his church. Jesus did this instructing and warning. St. Paul did it in our second reading. Even in that Old Testament reading, that's that warning against the prophets who were not sent by God, who prophesied not God's word, but the dreams that they came up, their own false delusions, and then gave people vain or false hopes. And so the church is in this world. And do you remember who Jesus tells us is the prince of this world? It's the devil. And the devil is a liar. He's the great counterfeiter. He deceives and he seeks to subvert the work of God by packaging up what appears to be godly, but is inwardly vicious. And so it's why then Jesus does warn against false prophets that appear in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. Because not only is the devil a liar, not only is a counterfeiter, but he's no dummy. He knows that to infiltrate the church of God is to not just walk up to people and to appear as a wolf with his fangs exposed, his mouth watering, and his eyes with that look of hunger. No, he's in this for the long haul. He covers himself in sheep's clothing. But Jesus tells you something. He teaches you with this warning. He says that you will know them by their fruits. So what does he mean by this? He goes on to say, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the distressed tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by your fruits. So the fruits that Jesus speaks about are twofold when we look at the scriptures. It's doctrine and it's life. The scriptures teach you this, and this is who you are to be as sheep, your disciples. You're to be students of the word. In that second reading, St. Paul told them that he did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. And so he preached that whole counsel of God, that whole word of God. He gave that to them. And so the devil is the author of all false doctrine. And false doctrine is poison to the soul. Jesus warns his disciples to beware, that they would beware of hungry wolves. He, Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, knows the power of the written and spoken word of God, even as he overcame the devil in the wilderness with "Thus says the Lord." And he knows the danger of false teaching. He is talking to all Christians. He's talking to all of us to be a disciple as one who is taught. And so Jesus gives that right and responsibility to Christians to be hearers of the word of God and to judge the teachings of those who are sent to them. So pure doctrine is not just an academic exercise, and it's not just the concern of preachers. Just because you have not been called to preach doesn't mean that you can't hear the word of God and judge the teaching of preachers. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." They know it. They recognize it. They don't recognize the voice of a stranger. This means they have the duty to know God's word, to know what God says, to know what God's teaching. And God's people have this. And so you can't judge doctrine by looking at the teacher and judging him by his appearance. Jesus warns us that the false prophets are in wolves in sheep's clothing. So the sheep's clothing can be seen in sincerity and the winsomeness they may present, the vast learning they may demonstrate, the piety they display, and all other things that try to convince the naive and gullible that their teaching must be true because they appear to be sincere. But faith, Christian faith, lives on and in the word of God. God's word is truth. False doctrine cannot nurture anyone in the faith. It can only poison faith. It destroys genuine spiritual faith. So when false teaching is tolerated in the church, it covers up the truth. It replaces the truth with lies and the affections of people. This is how souls are poisoned and faith is destroyed. And many of these soul-destroying errors come from preachers who question the truthfulness of the Bible. They operate with the assumption that the Bible contains errors, or it's not God's word, it only contains God's word, or that God's word isn't clear, it's ambiguous, or it teaches certain things that were applicable back then but not today. It scratches those itching ears, which is to say, it tells people what they want to hear. Rather than calling to repentance, rather than calling a thing for what it is, it affirms sin. Rather than teaching a new life in Christ that God calls us to and following the word, it preaches a message of therapeutic platitudes, of meaningless slogans. And rather than real forgiveness, there's self-help. There's vain hope and no real hope. You will know them by their fruits. And the second way the scriptures talk about this throughout different places is by their lives. Not only do the scriptures teach about the content of preachers, but also their lives. There's a reason why the Bible gives concrete qualities and requirements for pastors. This past week was our convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and one of the big issues at hand was the formation of pastors, that we reaffirm the rigorousness of pastoral education and training, and not trying to cut corners and subvert things, and trying to make sure that we even tighten it up and understand what it means to prepare pastors and form them as servants of God and hold them to a high standard. One of those guys who was doing a lot of this at the convention, I think you know, he's the president of the Fort Wayne Seminary. And so, for instance, in Titus 1, it says, "For an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it." Or another well-known passage in 1 Timothy 3, "The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil." Now, all of that is not to say that pastors aren't sinless. Far from it. Just ask a pastor's wife if a pastor is a sinner. But God teaches that the life of a pastor can also bring a scandal to what he preaches. It doesn't negate the word. It doesn't change its efficacy, that it actually does what it says. But he is to be an example and honor his life with the word he is preaching. If the fruits of the pastor's life are marked by love of money, by drunkenness, by being quick-tempered, constantly quarreling with people, not able to control himself, he's not fit for the ministry. Rather than suffering and sacrificing all for the sake of the body of Christ, even those who might be against him, because sometimes sheep bite the shepherd, and they bite hard, he seeks his own desires, his own self-interest and pride. Those fruits are not to adorn the life of God's ministers. So what does this all mean? Well, God is calling you to be diligent and serious as his people. In Colossians 3, God tells you, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." So treasure God's gifts. Treasure what your Lord gives to you. Use discernment when it comes to the things of God and in this world. Learn your scriptures. Memorize what has been handed down to you. Remain in that teaching. Sing good, meaty hymns. Judge preachers according to what God teaches you in his word. Don't go searching for preachers to suit what you want to hear, but pray for faithful preachers. Pray for your pastors, too, and all those in authority over you. And when God's word is rightly taught and preached, don't take that for granted, but receive it with thanksgiving. Take it to heart and rejoice. Don't neglect the hearing of the word of God. Don't neglect studying the word of God. Don't just make these things a priority, but make them something you cling to, that define your very being every single day. There's always that old collect, that old prayer of that when we study God's word, that we would hear Mark learn and inwardly digest the word of God. That defines you. Inwardly digest it, chew on it. And be certain of this. So much of what Jesus is saying to you today is for you to cling solely and completely to him. It's to know him through his word and to trust him. In the gradual, we sang, "Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame." And that's what happens when God's word is faithfully preached in your midst, and you, as the children of God, listen and lead lives according to it. It's the diligence to be students of the word and to care about these things. It's to have a mindset and a heart that doesn't create a spirituality that is shallow, that doesn't think things really, it doesn't matter what one believes or thinks about Jesus. It's a life that looks around the world and realizes how much of what we see going on that tries to lead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. But you know who is faithful in all of this. It's the Lord, who came down from heaven in order to save you. Because Jesus is the one who is no deceiver. He's not a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. In that second reading we heard, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So Paul commended the people to God, which is great, but notice what he said, "and to his word of grace." And this word of grace does something. It builds you up and gives you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified, because the Lord cares for his church. The Ephesians in Acts 20 were given pastors as the Holy Spirit called them and set them apart. And they delivered the word of God to the people, which built them up and gave them an eternal inheritance that all God's saints have in Christ. And it's the same for you today. You see the joy of what it means to be the church, to be God's people. You are the sheep of the good shepherd, and together the church. God cares for his church. Rejoice in who God has called you to be today as you sit here in this place. This is our second one Sunday service. Eventually, four or five times, we'll get that right. It's okay. But you look around you as you gather on this day and you think about what it means to be the church of God. And you think about what God has brought you together as he has called you his own in the waters of holy baptism, as he's gathered you by the Holy Spirit, by that very word that St. Paul preached to the Ephesians, that very word that he delivers to you. And you rejoice because the people sitting next to you, your brothers and sisters in Christ, share that same inheritance of eternal life. The same inheritance of the people in Ephesus, same inheritance of Jesus that he was speaking to in the gospel reading as he warned them against the false prophets. Jesus is your faithful shepherd. He takes care of you. So as Jesus spoke those hard words of warning on this eighth Sunday of Trinity, go running to him who's no wolf in sheep's clothing. The Father sent the Son of God to accomplish your salvation. He was sent, he spoke the very words of God because he alone has the words of eternal life. And not only did he preach those words, but his whole life was lived according to it as he perfectly obeyed God's law. He was known as the Messiah by his fruits of his preaching and his life. He fulfilled all that was spoken by the true prophets of God sent by him to prepare the way. And how was Jesus received? Did he amass for himself great wealth? Was he the favorite preacher of the day that everyone walked away from saying, I really feel good about what he said? No, many of those who heard him preach later cried out, crucify him. Others, though, by the Holy Spirit, through his word, believed him. Even one who hung on a cross next to him as he was dying would have eternal life. There is great glory in the obedience, the suffering, the weakness, and faithfulness of Jesus, and it's the same for you today. So as much and as many as the devil and men try to destroy the church, it can't be done. It's not even an exercise in futility, because Jesus makes the promise that not even the gates of hell will prevail against the church of God. Take comfort in Christ who promises this to you, because he's talking about you in that. Take comfort in the faithful preaching of the word of God and the right administration of the sacraments, because it's all for your sake, all for your benefit, that God has set it up this way and operates in this manner. And God will not put you to shame as you cling to him. God uses sinful men to accomplish his purposes. But St. Paul, as he said in the reading, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. And that's you, dear saints of God, the beloved church of God, the ones sanctified through the preaching by those called by the Holy Spirit, ordained, set apart by God to do so. God cares for his church. God cares for you. And so your sin is forgiven. You are God's children. You are his holy flock. You are sheep who hear the voice of your shepherd, and you call upon the Lord in the faith that he has given to you and the faith that he keeps you in through that same word. And in his great and abundant mercy towards you, he has laid down his life so that your sin is forgiven and you have eternal life. Even in times of trial, times of suffering, times of tribulation, times when as we go through this life and so many things seem to assail and assault us, the Lord is faithful and he preserves his people. He will not let someone snatch you from his Father's hand. Thanks be to God that he is the Lord, and even despite the best or worst efforts of sinful men, the Lord will guard and preserve his church. And that's the comfort today that Jesus leaves with you. And it's what you rejoice in as you go through this world on this side of glory. Jesus is faithful for you and to you. He is the one who is the crucified and risen Lord who has called you his own. And there's nothing sinister in what he has done or what he says. And so living as his bride, you rest easy and safe in his care. And beware of wolves in sheep's clothing, to be sure. But keep go running back to the Lamb who has laid down his life and gives you all that is his in return. And you are sheep, clothed in righteousness, salvation, life. This is your baptismal garment that God has covered you in, that he's given to you by his work. And he gives you a new life, a new heart, a new spirit, and a new mind. Thanks be to the faithful Lord, and cling to Christ, who has done all things, your good and faithful shepherd, who cares for his church, who cares for you, his dear beloved sheep, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.